Welcome to The Refresh from Insider, presented by WebEx by Cisco. I'm Dave Smith.
And I'm Rebecca Ibarra. It's Friday, April 15th, and we're bringing you real-time news, fresh like live radio, but on demand like podcasts.
Here's the latest. Twitter's board of directors has unanimously agreed to the poison pill strategy, which many outlets reported on earlier in an attempt to avoid a hostile takeover from Elon Musk. Musk submitted a proposal to buy Twitter yesterday for $43 billion. The poison pill, also called a shareholder rights plan, basically offers current shareholders the right to buy additional shares at a discounted price. More shares in the market means a weaker hand for any one person or entity to be a major shareholder. U.S. officials are confirming Ukraine's side of events. Ukraine hit and sank one of Russia's major warships with two Neptune missiles. Russian officials had said the Moskva, named after the Russian capital, accidentally caught fire and sank while being towed in rough water. It's another blow to Russia's war effort and morale.
A woman in St. Petersburg has been arrested for replacing supermarket price tags with anti-war messages. Alexandra Skochilenko is an artist and musician, and she now faces up to 10 years in prison for violating Russia's draconian fake news law. Her updated price tags included messages like "violence is never the way out" and information, accurate information it seems, about Russian attacks on Ukrainian civilians.
New York's public libraries are clapping back at states trying to ban books like The 1619 Project or Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye. The city's branches will give out free library cards to young people anywhere in the U.S., giving them access to hundreds of thousands of digital and audiobooks. It's part of their campaign to promote the free exchange of thoughts and ideas.
The FDA has approved the first COVID-19 breath test. The device, which is about the size of a carry-on suitcase, can give results in about 3 minutes, and studies show it's effective. That's particularly good news as cases are surging in the Northeast, where notables from Nancy Pelosi to Sarah Jessica Parker have recently tested positive. It's unclear whether we're seeing the start of another surge. Experts are hopeful increased immunity from prior waves, plus more widespread treatments, will be enough to lessen its impact.
Hockey's not exactly a gentle sport, but there are some lines even pro athletes aren't supposed to cross. So when the Minnesota Wild's Ryan Hartman flipped off Evander Kane in a matchup against the Oilers, the NHL fined him more than $4,000. Wild fans were not having it, though. Hartman's personal Venmo account went viral on Twitter, and an overnight middle finger fund wound up sending the superstar enough money to cover the penalty and then some. RIP Hartman's phone.
I get 3 messages for everyone. Venmo, yeah. So I had to turn some notifications off.
And yeah, he's donating the money to charity. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at therefresh@insider.com. Coming up, we talk about the difficult juggling act of being a working parent during the pandemic and some tips to help those parents out there manage it all. WebEx is driving hybrid work by ensuring almost anyone, almost anywhere can be seen, heard, and have the ability to contribute equally. Learn more at webex.com/hybridwork.
The family of Patrick Lioia want the officer who shot their son identified and charged. An officer in Grand Rapids, Michigan, shot Lioia in the head following an altercation that ensued from a traffic stop. Here's civil rights attorney Ben Crump.
You see a police officer escalate a minor traffic stop into a deadly execution.
Lioia's family, who came to the U.S. to escape war in Congo, spoke publicly Thursday. The prosecutor on the case says it'll take some time to decide whether charges are warranted.
The U.S. Treasury says North Korean hackers stole $625 million in cryptocurrency from the Ronin network. The hackers are part of the Lazarus Collective, which took down Sony back in 2014. This attack targeted the blockchain that supports a play-to-earn cryptocurrency game called Axie Infinity, which is super complicated to explain, but all you need to know is that the Treasury and FBI are on the case. If Ethereum-based online games are your thing, the Ronin network should be brought back online by the end of the month.
For the first time, a federal jury considered whether a January 6th rioter could blame former President Donald Trump for having stormed the Capitol. Spoiler alert, 38-year-old Dustin Thompson was still found guilty despite his claims that he was following, quote, presidential orders. Judge Reggie Watson did take the opportunity, though, to point out that Trump's behavior is a threat to democracy, but for the many other rioters hoping to shift blame, it might not work out in court.
A 49-year-old man from Pomfret, Maryland, was found dead in his home in January, and officials determined this week that he died from a snake bite. I wish I could say I was surprised, but this man reportedly owned 124 snakes in his home, including a 14-foot python and many venomous species like rattlesnakes, cobras, and black mambas. The chief animal control officer for Charles County reportedly said in his more than 30 years of experience, he had never seen anything like this before.
When you look up at the night sky this weekend, you'll see April's pink moon. It'll be full and it'll be beautiful, but it won't actually be pink. Native Americans initially named it that because they associated it with the blooming of a pink wildflower. For them, this full moon marked the end of winter and the start of renewed growth.
Since the start of the pandemic, rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness are skyrocketing, especially among young people. This mental health crisis is taking a toll on working parents who have to split their time between meetings and worrying about their children's mental well-being. Insider's Rebecca Knight has two children. They're 14 and 11, and she reached a breaking point recently.
So I knew that I had a meeting, but I also had a parent-teacher conference about some stuff that was going on in my daughter's classroom that I was a little concerned about. And so I had the meeting with her teachers, which was emotional. I'm not going to lie. I got emotional. And then I had to go immediately into a meeting with my team and talk about goals for the quarter. And I was distraught. This is an experience that I think a lot of working parents are having right now because they are trying to fit a lot into their work days, as you always are. But there's also a lot of mental health challenges going on with kids.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So I obviously can't identify, unfortunately, because I'm not a parent yet. But what is it like to be a working parent right now?
2 years into this wrenching pandemic, and we know, I think a task force just came out recently saying that kids 8 years old, every single kid 8 years old, should be screened for anxiety because we know the mental health challenges that kids lost so much when schools were shut. They lost a lot of opportunities to socialize with their peers. They lost face-to-face interaction with teachers. And so we are really consumed with their well-being and are they okay? And this is a question we find ourselves asking all the time, including when we're in the middle of our workday and we should be in a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being a working parent, obviously juggling is nothing new for you, but what is so different about now?
I've often reflected on this, thinking to myself, is it harder to be a working parent today than it was for my parents' generation? Mm-hmm. And I've come to the conclusion that yes, it is harder, and I'll tell you why. Number one, we didn't have social media when we were kids. So there's that element that we have that's sort of adding to our worries and concerns about their development. And then our work lives are just so much more intense. All of us carry around these little machines in the form of our smartphones that are filling our inboxes and our Slack channels with things we should be doing and thinking about for work. And so it's really hard to shut off.
Yeah, and it seems it's a very difficult to win sort of scenario. What can employers do to help?
I mean, as you said yourself, you're not a parent, but this pandemic has affected you. It's affected all of us. Employers need to understand on a human dimension, people are still struggling. The pandemic is not over. And so acknowledging that it's happening, having individual managers say to their employees, but in particular their working parents who have to have a lot of caregiving responsibilities, hey, maybe you're going through something. Let me know if I can help.
Yeah, that's great advice. I like that it's even just as simple as just checking in and saying, is there anything I can do? Just from a very basic level. But, you know, Rebecca, I do consider you an expert in a lot of things.
Oh, please.
I mean, you've been doing this thing for a while, you know, both being a working journalist and being a mother. So what advice do you have for working parents out there when they're having a tough time with their child or with work? How do you handle all of this?
This one woman I spoke with, Sarah Peck, she is the founder of Startup Parent, which is a community for women executives. And she talked about the idea of using your calendar blocking and using it as liberally as you can. If you're going to speak to your child's teacher or therapist, give yourself time to regroup, recover, take that time, have a little cry, journal if it helps. This is a lesson that I learned the hard way last week. In trying to do something back to back to back. And you said I'm an expert, but I've never had a 14-year-old before. This is my first time parenting a 14-year-old. And so I'm a novice at that. So I think that just having a little bit of, don't being so hard on yourself. We're going to get through, but it is going to take some time.
That's good advice. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Rebecca Knight is a senior correspondent for Insider covering careers and the workplace. Make sure to follow The Refresh from Insider on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please leave a rating and review. It helps other people discover the show.
The Refresh from Insider is produced by Frank Alito, Grace Eliza Goodwin, and us, Rebecca Ibarra.
And Dave Smith. Carrie Donahue is our executive producer, Andy Bowers is head of audio at Insider, and we had extra help this week from Rob Gunther.
Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful weekend.